Okay, we're going to do Mishle chapter 15, verse 5. And it says, "A fool abhors his father's discipline, but one who guards rebuke will become cunning." Okay? All right. Now, to get this, we need a few definitions. The first one is father. In Torah, we find there are Meiri says that when they use the word father, there are three possible fathers. There's the biological, the psychological, and the intellectual. A father or parent is a person that creates you. So if we use the word father, there are really three creations in a human being. There's the biological, the genes. And the thing is, that's the biological. The psychological is the person that raises you. Usually it's the biological, but not always. So the psychological affects you in your early years. Who raises you has a large effect on your personality. So there's the personalities, a lot of your genes, sometimes chemicals affect your personality. That's the biological parent. But the psychological parent is the one that raises you and affects you psychologically. And then there's the intellectual parent, which changes your view of life, basically through ideas. Okay? Usually in Mishle, we're usually talking about the intellectual father. Well, not there'd be a lot of contradictions if you just try to find the biological or psychological father. Anyway, so definitely over here is the intellectual father. Then there's the term discipline and guard. Okay? Discipline and rebuke. We'll give one definition for both, what they have in common. In Hebrew, it's Musar and Tochacha. Okay? Discipline and rebuke is where I show you the consequences of your actions so you could see clearly the idea. Okay? Because, in other words, most of the times the parent says, do this, do that. You understand? And you have to obey the parent. By Musa and Tochacha, it's where they show you, the intellectual father will definitely show you how, in other words, like Mishle shows you the consequences of your, the consequences of your actions. Okay? And there is a proof in the Pasuk that this is true, because it says, one who guards rebuke will become cunning. Okay? You cannot become cunning if somebody just tells you, do this, or why didn't you do this? You know what I mean? Like, you know, that type of thing. You can only become cunning if there has to be some intellectual idea there. Now the question is, what's the definition of cunning? Now the Hebrew word is arum, and it's used for cunning, but over here it's not. The question is like this: what qualities do you need to be cunning? Let's put it that way. What qualities do you need to be cunning? Yeah, when they use the word arum or cunning, they usually mean not the we're deceiving, but the knowledge of the psychological makeup of a human being. Okay, that's three definitions. Okay, now the first question is: it says a fool abhors his father's discipline. Most people don't abhor learning Mishle. They just might not be interested. But I don't know if you're going to abhor it. You understand? Question is, Why does it say abhor? It should say a fool. Abhor means to hate. Okay? I mean, to hate his father's discipline. So, why? I mean, it should say a fool is not interested. I mean, for whatever reason you don't learn it, you're a fool. Okay? So, the thing is, most of the times you just don't even know, most people don't even know what it is. They're just not interested. So the question is, why does it say abhor? The answer is that, in other words, we used to have a joke here in the class about that we used to walk out depressed. In other words, there's certain ideas that affect you in a bad way. You understand? When you hear certain ideas about the consequences of your actions and the way you live your life, Mishlei is really telling you that you have to change the way you live your life, the way you make decisions. How you're living now is totally incorrect. So therefore, there has to be you have to feel bad. Person has to feel bad, or it has to hit them, and they have to even feel angry and upset. Okay? But the only thing is, that doesn't make you a fool yet. Okay? Because every beginner must feel that. When they see the ideas and how they have to change their life around. But the thing is that the fool makes a decision based on the pain, and he turns away, while the intelligent person will make a decision based on the ideas, and despite the pain, he will go continue on and continue studying these ideas. So it abhors the father's discipline. Not that he's not interested. If you're not interested, you just don't know. You understand? But here we're talking about the person that hears the ideas and hears what the ideas are and where you have to change. And so therefore you become angry or abhor or hate the ideas. It's not before you hear it, it's after you hear it. Okay? That's the first half. Once again, everybody feels when they hear that they have to change their lifestyle, they have to change the way they think, has to feel, you know, a certain amount of anger or hatred or, you understand, upset. But then the question is, how do you make a decision? Okay? So the fool makes a decision based on the pain, while an intelligent person makes a decision based on the ideas. Even though he has pain from the ideas, he makes a decision based on the ideas. Next question is guard. Guard is a physical thing, not a... guard is physical. You don't guard ideas. How do you guard ideas? Okay? So the answer is guard must be a metaphor. Okay? Metaphor is where I take... I use an object, but I only mean one quality of the object. Okay, and what's the quality of God? God is over here. I mean, it could be other things, but God is that I don't want to lose it. Okay, now the question is like this: most people at a certain point forget. In other words, let's take the extreme case. Let's say a person forgets things in a matter of an hour. If he doesn't think about it for an hour, he forgets it. Okay. So that part, what is it? It comes out that it's impossible for that person not to lose it. Question is it possible, even though you do not have a memory, or even though these things you can't remember all these things? So the question is, how would you work out a way of not losing the ideas? That's the question. So somebody said you should review it until it becomes clear. But I'm sure there are ideas that you reviewed many times and it became clear, but you forgot it. I mean, you forget ideas. You can't remember an idea for... Some ideas you can't remember forever. So the thing is that if an idea becomes clear to you, when it's 100% clear, either by studying it or through review, and you understand the idea becomes a way of thinking. In other words, it's not this or that particular idea, but the idea affects the way you think. And so once it affects the way you think, that will never change. That you'll never lose. Because you start thinking that way, so there's no loss to it. Okay? Okay. Now, the question is, okay, so that's how you guard these ideas. Okay? That they become 100% clear. Okay. So, now the question is, how does this ideas, it says it teaches you cunning, so I should be able to see where it's, I could learn cunning in this verse. Okay, how do I learn cunning? The thing is that you learn about human nature. First of all, you learn about, you get clear about the idea that that there's two types of people. One never heard or is just not interested. There's another thing, that these ideas, how they affect you. That's it's very particular, but it is an idea about human nature. Second thing you get about human nature is that by constant review, but not by constant review, where it becomes clear to the mind, the idea, even without review, if it becomes very clear to the idea, review helps it. Review means that I'm thinking it through, so I see new ideas, it becomes clearer. But once it becomes clear to the mind, so that's that it affects you, that's also about human nature, how human beings work. So it deals with human nature on a very, very particular level. It's not the universals of human nature, but the particulars of human nature. And that's what a beginner needs. He needs from every pasuk he could see another idea about the emotion, and he starts thinking that way, and that's how he could become orum, or cunning, knowledge of the emotions.
Say that again, Rabbi. He becomes understanding of, he becomes cunning because he sees how ideas affect people?
He sees the very particulars of emotions, not the universals. The universals... Yeah, have universals, like, you know, it's still vague. It's not good. You have to start from the particulars, and you get many, many particulars. You'll see the universals from the particulars, but you should see the particulars, and that's practically all of Mishlei. All of Mishlei deals with every pasuk practically with another aspect of a human emotion. Once again. The first thing you, in other words, the what King Solomon is doing is not the universals of human emotions, but the particulars of human emotions. For instance, I mean, there are some universals, we'll see as we go through the different psukim. But over here in this pasuk, for instance, it becomes very clear that people are affected by the ideas of Mishlei. When somebody tells you, shows you clearly, in other words, let me try from another angle. Let's say, for instance, a parent tells you to do X. Whether it's right or wrong doesn't matter. But you have a conflict with authority. Okay? But when you hear the idea of why your lifestyle is totally incorrect, when that becomes clear that that's what King Solomon is telling you, then you have an inner conflict. It's a worse conflict than what you have with your parents. Okay? And then there's some people that have no knowledge of what King Solomon is saying. They don't have any knowledge. They're ignorant. So you see three distinctions in different types of people that fail. Right here in the pasuk, it's applied. You have to know these three ideas to understand the pain that you feel by discipline. There's certain people that are not interested. They don't. They never heard it, so they're not interested. They'll fail, fine, but they won't have a conflict with this. They'll have conflicts in their everyday life. If a parent tells you to do something, the psychological parent tells you, the one that's raising you tells you to do X, Y, or Z, so then you have a conflict with the parent if you don't want to do it. But if you learn Mishlei, then you see that you have an inner conflict because your mind sees the idea, and yet it's telling you to do something that is totally against your personality. You have to change your personality. You have to change the way you think, the way you act. So that type of conflict is a terrible, terrible conflict. Most people, well, whoever goes through this must have that conflict. They really see what the King Solomon is trying to say. You're going to have that conflict. That conflict is a terrible conflict. Now, so then you see that how people make decisions also. One person is going to make a decision based on the pain, so they're going to back off. That is the fool. And some people will accept the pain and make a decision based on ideas. Those are all very particular ideas about how human beings operate. And the second half, it tells you how you could live by ideas. How do you learn to live by ideas? Just make sure that the idea is clear to the mind. Now, after you get 100 pesukim, you understand 100 different ideas about human nature. Suddenly you start recognizing even things that King Solomon didn't tell you. You start recognizing in other people. So then you're Orum and you're cunning. So the question is, what is the benefit of having Arma, or this cunning, this knowledge? First of all, you can protect yourself from people because if you know how to read people, you don't listen to what they say, but the way they act, or you learn how to recognize these things so you know how to protect yourself. That's first of all. And second of all, yeah, when it comes to kindness, so then when you help a person, you have to know how to read a person. You understand what they want? Okay, probably the highest level of arma is probably buying a present for somebody. Most people buy a present, and they feel very excited because they buy something they would want. You know what I mean? So they get excited, so they identify with the receiver, how they would enjoy it. But you have to really stop and think about who the receiver is and what the receiver would really want. In other words, sometimes teachers, you know, a bar mitzvah present, you buy them books and things. Not everybody wants a book, but that's what you want them to have. That's not the way to buy a present. The way to buy a present is to really know the nature of the person, what they need. Okay? But that you have to have arma to do that. That is just an example of of arma, a situation of arma, and buying a present, how to think about it. Okay. It's not the pasuk, but you could take another step here, and that is arma would also give you humility. Question is, what is humility? Okay? All right. The thing is that if somebody insults you, the question is, how do you react? Now, most people react based on the pain. Each, according to their personality, reacts to that pain. Okay? But if you have arma, at a certain point, you will say, why would that person do such a thing? Like, you're curious. You're more curious. The pain does not affect you as much as the curiosity of why a person would do such a thing. And each person, why they hurt you, might be different reasons. It's not all one reason. In other words, pain, when you receive pain, it's the same pain. So you react according to your personality. But if you have arma at a certain point, You don't think about the pain, but you just think about, you're curious about the person, why a person would do such a thing. So you don't think about yourself, but you think about objectively other people. That is the humility that would be a result of Mishlei. There's humility from other subjects, but from Mishlei, that would be the humility that you would get from Mishlei. When you interpret, the problem is when you interpret people, especially if somebody insults you, you have to be careful that you don't project onto them what you want to see them. In other words, it has to be an objective type of thinking. Can't be where you project your emotions onto them. A lot of people try to interpret other people's feelings, but they don't really have arma, so they can't do it. And even if you do have arma, if when you're emotionally affected, sometimes it'll affect the way you interpret a person. So you have to be careful of your own emotions, that when you analyze another person, it's done objectively, not in a way that you want to see them, but it's objectively. All right, the question is, what is the subject and what are the two opposites? I will start with the two opposites. The two opposites is when you dealing with the, in other words, hold on. The two opposites is when a person is affected by discipline or by some type of pain to their emotions. Okay, let's just take it by discipline because that's subject. Okay, by discipline or rebuke. Okay. So there are two opposite things. One is either I hate it, it affects me in a bad way, or it doesn't bother me at all. Now, if I reach a point of humility where I just look at things objectively, where it changes the way I look at life, in other words, the result of the study of Mishlei, when you see when somebody disciplines you, you'll just look at it objectively, because that's how you've been trained, just to look at things objectively, and you don't look at the self at all. You see, so there's no pain. So the first half tells you the beginners that have pain. However, I'm just saying there's a difference between a chacham and a fool even there. But however, the other extreme is where I do not have any pain, but if somebody gives me discipline or rebuke, I just look at it objectively. What does it mean to my life? I just investigate it without any pain. That's the subject of the pasuk. The subject is how you're affected by discipline and rebuke. So the beginner is affected by pain, by the pain, and the end result by when you just look at things objectively, so there's no more pain. So there's no pain by discipline or rebuke. Once again, the end result of seeing things clearly and review, which makes it clearer, then it becomes part of your nature to think that way. Once it becomes part of your nature to think that way, so you look at things or you look at people objectively, and even where they cause you pain or pleasure, you understand, either one, you still look at them objectively. You're not affected by how you're affected, but you look at everything objectively. If that's the point, then when somebody gives you discipline or rebuke, then you just look at it objectively. That's it. And you just want to see how you could get it clear, the idea, as best as possible. That's it. But there's no pain.